Welcome to the DestroProds.com Anything Cast Live here on All Games Radio. I'm your host, the Dead Man. Today we have Bovi Wan.
Hello.
And Ninja Kitty.
Hello.
Today was a pretty good day.
What? Tell us why today was a pretty good day.
Because we now have our second registered user.
Oh, who is it?
Big Man CJS.
All right.
Yes. Every time someone signs on to the site, I'm going to say their username. I don't give a fuck.
Eventually, it's going to be like a mile-long list every week.
Yeah, it is. All right, so we have 10,000 new registered users. Yeah, so since he came onto the site, he started up a thread in the forums.
Oh my god, someone's using our forums?
Yes, in the t-shirt design thread.
Oh my god!
Yeah, so he started. Designs based on one word or phrase said in the podcasts. So far, we have science! Because America and shit. What's the internet? That's a thing. We're professional plot hole fillers, and want to feel dead inside? Bend over, bitch.
I'll have to send these to the guy I met in Toronto.
So yeah, artists. Anyone out there who feels like doing art for us, please make these into things.
Make them as epic and funny and awesome as you can, because some of those should be such.
Yeah, like, I've been wanting to make science into a shirt for a while.
Yeah, like I said, I met some artists in Toronto, and they're interested in doing some stuff for us, so we'll see how that pans out.
Sweet!
The one dude's really freaking good, too. He's like, oh, I want to see some of my sketches. He opens his book up, it's like, oh! Yeah.
He just carries his book with him, like, not in the bag or anything, he just holds it at all times. Like, hey, what's that? Oh, what's that book? You want to see it?
No, it's in his, what I'm going to refer to as his link backpack, because it holds everything.
Okay.
And he literally sketched Tobuscus during the show, and it looked exactly like him. It was fucking ridiculous. I'm like, oh my god.
He used pen, too. We got a badass over here.
Oh yeah, because you guys went to see Tobuscus.
Hell yes, we did.
Tobuscus. I have not taken the slap bracelet off.
Yeah, I watched his vlog thing from on stage.
Yeah, we were from the camera. We were to the right.
Okay.
But we were pretty close to the front.
Okay. Yeah, I everything out there just looked like a blob. And he even in the video actually failed doing his intro of darkness, the redness, the whiteness.
He fails that a lot, actually.
Yeah, it was intro of redness, then redness, then video. Like, I've seen one video where that worked.
His one from the VIP lounge on the way to Canada was pretty good. That was a pretty good darkness, redness, whiteness.
He had on a lot of makeup.
Yeah, he did. It didn't look like it from the audience. Like, you could tell he was wearing makeup, but it didn't look like it from in the audience. But yeah, looking at the videos, he was definitely wearing a lot of makeup.
It's called stage makeup.
Yeah, just hell of guyliner.
Yeah, he was kind of astonished by how much makeup they put on. I was like, so much makeup.
Yeah.
And I noticed that's what that good 10-15 minutes was for in between the ending of the show and to the meet and greet. It was just him removing all the fucking makeup.
By the way, I've come up with this theory that you're actually secretly a Tobuscus fan. You just want everyone to think you hate him.
Why?
Well, one, you've been watching his lazy vlogs.
I watched 3 of them.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Woo!
That's all I have to say to that.
No idea what that is.
You will.
Anyways.
Yeah, right over. Right over my head.
I might not prove it, but I will still hold that theory.
It was very exciting, though, but no one ever go with Rogers.
Yeah, Rogers are dicks. Let's explain the dickishness of Rogers. So there's supposed to be a meet and greet, and Tobuscus was like really looking forward to this. Except that the meet and greet, Rogers ended up cutting it down to you could take a photo with him in a group of 5 people. Of course, he didn't seem too happy with that. There was like a no autographs thing too, and like.
Oh, he was very mad with the management. Like, even when the show was ending and they were like, the people were right behind the curtain being like, cut it, like doing like the whole finger swooling and the cutting of the throatness and stuff like that. And
one point they went as far as to put up a PowerPoint slide that says, you're out of time. Cut it ASAP.
They're about 10 seconds away from just getting the giant cane and grabbing him by the neck.
Well, I know that he saw them. He saw them doing the whole, like, wrap it up outside of the stage. He kept going for another 5 minutes. And that thing showed up on the PowerPoint, and the entire audience just pointed to the PowerPoint. He turned around and he's like, oh! He kept going for another 5 minutes. So, obviously, he was quite upset. And, like, when he was thanking people for coming to the show, it didn't just sound like, oh, thank you. It'd be like, thank you. Like, I'm sorry for what they fucking done. I'm sorry. But thank you for coming.
It has to be all be in subtext, of course. So we can't technically prove any of this. Because, you know, you're not allowed to just badmouth the people who gave you a free show in Canada.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they won't let you go back. They'll take away your plane ticket, and you'll be stuck there.
Yeah, they'll ban you from your own country. They'll lock you in the Rogers branded mining pits. That's how they make all their cell phones.
Yeah, as soon as like the no autographs thing came up, he like just whipped out a bunch of Tobuscus branded slap bracelets, started slapping them on people.
Yeah, he didn't just hand them out. He literally grabbed people's arms and put them on. I'm like, oh. So I haven't taken mine off. It's been days.
Did you give him our card?
No. See, there's two things about that. One, I decided that this was a trip for me.
Okay.
No, not for me as Death Door Frauds. And secondly, I've been trying to contact him by email. Either he's going to respond to that or he's not. I honestly understand if he doesn't come on our podcast because he generally tries to be, you know, PG-13.
Tries, though.
We are hard R.
Hard R, yes. But interesting little story from that. So at one point during the show, it wasn't the meet and greet yet. I guess people had this prediction that the meet and greet wasn't going to be a proper meet and greet, and people just started to flood the stage, handing him stuff to sign, which he did for a bunch of people. Not everyone, of course. He couldn't just get everyone. That was a full fucking theater.
Oh, yeah. It was
and,
totally
you know,
full.
Running up to the front doesn't mean he'll get you. And he was like, honestly, like, okay, guys, I'm trying to continue my show. Bug me later. He thought he was going to be able to do autographs later, which he then wasn't. But one guy came up, and he did the one thing. He stooped to the one level that I will never. He went up to the stage, asked for, you know, Q&A mic. Gets the Q&A mic. Oh, would you be interested in coming such and such a show, blah, blah, blah,
oh,
blah, blah.
No. You'd never do that.
Not, especially not in front of a live audience, because if he says no, he sounds like a dick.
Yeah, it's... If you go to a show for the purpose of trying to get someone to come onto your show, then you wait until the show is done.
Yes.
And when they're away from people.
Absolutely. I'm glad that, you know, being the whore you are, even you have that same level of professionalism.
Yeah, it's fucking common courtesy.
Yeah, common courtesy. You don't go up in the middle of a live performance, interrupt his show, and say in front of thousands of people, hey, you want to come do this thing?
Well, yeah, it wasn't just that, but he was like, I know there's some of our fans in the audience out there. They were wondering if you would come on to our show. Oh, fuck, man.
No, fuck that.
He'd be screwing over his own fans if he were to say no. Like,
if I was a fan of his and he did that, I would not be a fan of his anymore.
Yeah, whatever that show is, I don't know what it is. Toby said he's heard of it. I don't know if that was bullshit, but...
It's like, oh yeah, I've totally heard of your show. You guys do that thing with the people and the talking. Right?
I didn't even hear him answer it, though.
Yeah, no, he said, I would be glad to. Because you can't fucking say no. You can't say no in that situation.
Yeah, what you do, so proper etiquette, at least the way I'm seeing it. So if there is, like, a meet and greet thing, then what you do is you wait until, like, you kind of hang back at the meet and greet. You wait until the end. You wait until, like, most people have dispersed. Then you go to him and say, hey, I'm a big fan. I will enjoy the show. I was wondering, I had this show. Would you want to come on it?
Unfortunately, the end of the meet and greet was when they kicked the other 2,000 people out. We managed to, like, because as soon as it's like, okay, I'm getting off stage, we booked it to the back of the theater.
Oh, yeah, as soon as it was like, yeah, they're about to drag him off the stage, we just ran. We're like, oh, fuck this. We're definitely going to get in line. And thank God we did that, because a huge horde of people appeared behind us, because we were near the front of the stage, and as soon as people see people from the front going, they're like, oh, we better get out of here.
Luckily, though, with the whole group of five thing, we didn't end up having to do that. We ended up getting a picture of just people we knew, because they were just, you know, cutting off random groups of five, and we had some people in front of us we didn't know, two of them, and then we're like, okay, come with us, it'll be a group of six. But then they took those two people. It's like, okay, we've got a group of four, and behind us is a kid and his mom. So you're not breaking us into a group of five. Take our group of four. So they did that. So it was just the four of us who went on the trip together in the picture.
Yeah, and if you just had that, that's another place where that could have been good. Of like, so you just go through the picture, it's like, hey man, thanks for the picture, here's a card, please contact us, we'd love to have you come on our show, then leave. Just very quiet, don't make a big deal about it.
That's my reason number one, that it was a trip for me, not a trip for Death Store Prods. As well, you know, we were being brushed out the door by the Rogers staff.
I'm just saying.
He was accepting gifts, though, because he didn't really have the opportunity to do that meet and greet, so people were just, like, handing him everything as they were coming up for the photo. He's like, oh, thank you.
But anyways, my plan is next time he comes to Canada, I will lure him somewhere with Tim Hortons, chloroform him, and tie him up and force him to be on the podcast.
Yeah, he apparently loves Tim Hortons.
Of course he does. Everyone fucking loves Tim Hortons.
Yeah, it's fucking Timmy's. Come on. But, so you're just going to do a Jack Black in the Muppets on him?
Yes, exactly.
Are you going to include your own, like, Japanese kanji, like, subtitle cards for yourself? So you just, like, show up, it's like, now! Then they show up your title card and just, like, freeze for a second. And he's like, what's happening? They have someone descend from the rooftops with their own cards?
Perhaps.
Yeah, like, you can't edit that shit in post in real life.
He may come to Fan Expo, though, because he was obviously very disappointed with how everything went. So it would be a really good opportunity for him, because he could have, like, a two-hour session, like, in one of the panels in one of the private rooms where he won't get bothered or anything.
Also, he could just walk around all weekend meeting people.
Wheelie all around.
He wanted to wheelie across the stage.
He was allowed to heelie on stage.
Heelies.
Because of all the mic cords and shit, he wasn't allowed to heelie on stage.
Okay.
Which is kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I saw his pre-show thing.
Yeah, as soon as he stuck out that iPhone, we all spotted it.
Yeah.
Oh, that was recorded with iPhone, okay.
Yeah, we just saw his iPhone sticking out. And
I was like, woo!
Yeah, it's like, there he is! Get him!
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be doing any proper wheeling on this podcast, because I can't do it unless I do it loud.
Yeah, it just turns into, like, if you hear the box, I just point at them, scream at everyone, hoards them.
Well, everyone was wheeling, too, because of what we were doing in the lineup. We kind of started in the lineup. We heard it once in a while, but we just started wheeling, and you would hear it echo down this huge lineup outside the theater. So everyone got in the habit of doing it. So when they got into the theater, instead of being like, woo, people were like, wheew!
Well, everyone did it whenever there was a camera around.
Yeah.
I did it whenever I saw an important looking person on a cell phone. Because I'm a dick like that.
Just trolling all of them.
And as soon as I started, it would echo down the line.
So as they're walking, like, every single person they're passing by, wheew!
Yeah. Just, oh, goddammit, these fucking assholes.
In the tour buses.
Sorry, it's just some jackasses weeing or something. I don't fucking know.
I love the tour buses, though. So many of them went by, and they were all like, hey, there's a lineup. And, you know, it's the Elgin Theater. It's one of the tourist spots in Toronto, so they would stop and pull over, and everyone would be just like, wheew! And they'd be like waving, and be like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And even one of the tour guides came off and was asking, what's going on? Why are you guys wheeling? Oh, okay. And she went back up on the and explained it to the people on the bus. And they're like, oh.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. They're from the internet. Oh, okay.
So many people were walking by asking, oh, what's happening? They didn't even stop. They're just like, oh, what's happening? Walk. It's happening.
It's internet shit. Fuck off.
Some people honestly asked. At one point, I'm like, if anyone asks and keeps walking, just wee at them.
It's like, oh,
that's what's going on.
It's like, oh, okay. There's a bunch of people in line. Just saw a bunch of people in line for wee.
Or just be like, do 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 subscribe. So what the fuck? Subscribe.
It's like, huh. There's a line for, like, a newspaper thing? I don't want a subscription, please. I have my own. Thank you.
And the next day, I was actually tempted to cosplay as Elle the first day and see if we had some time to do some photos on the first day that it was taking place that night. We ended up doing it the next day, but the Trump Tower, this new hotel in Toronto, extremely freaking classy. Ridiculous amount of money per night, but an amazing setup on the inside. And I swear, this is relevant to Tobuscus. It turns out he was staying in that hotel. Yeah, we didn't actually go inside for photo shoots. I didn't expect there to be that many employees just standing at all the freaking entrances. I'm like, oh my god, I feel like if I go in there, I'm going to get arrested or something.
And since it's Trump, you know they were checking your wallet as you went in. We got to be, what's the limit of this visa? 500?
It's like, hey, what do you do for a living? Fast food, get the fuck out.
What do you do for a living? Internet, get the fuck out.
There was that many employees because Tobuscus was staying there. I'm certain we would have been able to. It's just because it's Trump.
Yeah,
I've never heard of that before. I've never heard of that on any of the review sites of there being that many people at the doors.
Well, they have a doorman, and there was a bellhop there, and there were desk people.
There's a ton of other people in the parking lot, too.
And all of them just had blowguns waiting for you to say something, like, unclassy and then take you out. It's like, oh man, this place is a lot bigger than the last place I stayed in.
Well, also, you have to realize, like, I was dressed in my usual, like, ratty clothing. At Ninja Kitty dressed as Elle. We had a Femme Ellis. And then one other person.
Yeah, they were. It's just like, keep walking. They had someone on the roof watching you.
So we didn't end up doing a photo shoot there.
Usually I'm quite at ease about walking into classy places now, but just, I stopped. I just was like, oh, I'm about to veer off the sidewalk towards the tower, and people. And they're all wearing black suits, too, so it was really intimidating.
Yeah, you just there in your white shirt and jeans.
Yep. And scraggly, ratty hair, you know, Elle's crazy hair.
Yeah. Well, fuck them.
Yeah, there are some hotels that are honestly very absolutely fine with photo shoots. For example, the Fairmont, where we end up going. The Fairmont Royal New York, they do not give a fuck if you do photo shoots there.
They're so used to it. Because it's right by the downtown Metro Toronto Convention Center. It's like a couple blocks away. So, of course, every convention, they get hundreds and hundreds and, thousands, really, of people doing photos in that hotel because of the setting, right?
Hmm.
But the Trump Tower is brand new, so they're not used to that. There's Tobuscus in there.
Just acclimatize them to it then. Just like find a way, just start a petition so that every single person who ever, like, famous person who ever comes to Toronto goes to Trump Towers and then just keep getting people to do photo shoots there and eventually they'll get used to it. It's like, fuck nerds, fuck it.
Well, my somewhat goal is to actually stay there at some point. So I will dress up as Elle with, like, and I'll do full proper makeup and everything and just walk in. They'd be like, no, I have a reservation. Oh.
I would have the reservation, but.
Then do you go there dressed in your fucking Shizuo cosplay then?
Gray.
Gray. Sure. Gray.
Just in the middle of walk in with the gray clothing, but as I'm getting the room keys, start stripping my clothing off.
Like, as you're walking up, you take off your shirt, it's like, hey, I have a reservation.
And then as you're going
to the elevator, take off your pants.
Make it even better. When you're at the desk, you're fully clothed. Because I have to look down to type on the computer and grab the cards from under the desk, so that when they do that, they look up, you're naked.
Not naked.
Practically naked.
But I would do it one piece of clothing at a time.
No, I think it'd be funnier to just hear, whoosh, and then him look up and, like, just you're in boxers.
You know what I just realized, though? When he does that whole one-arm throwing away of the clothes thing, he takes his shoes and socks off as well.
He's just that good.
Without taking his feet off the ground.
He went to the superhero school of clothes changing. Believe me, people are insane with changing their clothes and like that kind of shit.
I wish I had gone into Trump Tower on the first day. I might have ended up meeting Obasker.
Of course, they'd be too busy arresting Toby to arrest us, because he was the one who was actually, you know, going into maintenance rooms and trespassing and shit.
It's like, just as he's being escorted out, it's like, oh my god, Toby, I'm such a good fan, please sign this. It's like, okay, can you put me on my back? And my hands are kind of handcuffed.
It's good to know, though, that the door to their pool is unlocked. You don't need a card, a room card to get in. So if you're in downtown Toronto, just dress up nice and classy. If you want to go for a swim, dress up nice and classy, go to Trump Tower, go up to the pool floor and take a swim.
And hope you don't get caught.
And bring a baby Ruth. For that joke. I think it's in Caddyshack where they like get a baby Ruth and throw it into the pool and then it looks like some shit in the pool.
No, you throw
a baby Ruth in a pool would just look like a baby Ruth in a pool.
It was some kind of chocolate bar. I'm not sure what it was. I think it might be like combining Caddyshack and the Goonies.
No, what you do is you take a roll of bandages, you take some red acrylic paint, mix it with a little bit of brown and a little bit of black, so it looks like blood, and you paint the bandages. You wait for it to dry, toss it in the pool. Yeah, because one, acrylic paint doesn't dissolve in water when it's dried. And two, it just looks freaking epic because people are like, oh my god!
You want to gross people out more, you do that same thing but with a tampon.
Oh.
Oh god.
That's horrible. That's disgusting.
Yes, it is.
And then as everyone's getting out, you just like look around to see who's checking. To see, to see if it's theirs.
Dead man! That's disgusting. Boys. Gross. Throw rocks at them.
I guess moving on from Tobuscus, I'm going to talk about this as... Well, we can come back, I guess, but we've mostly said...
Yeah, so moving on from Tobuscus and tampons.
So I'm going to try and talk about this as much as I can, despite the fact that most of it is top secret.
That was going to be the name of this Anything Cast, isn't it?
Oh, yes,
God. He's writing it down now.
Yes, I am.
Great.
So, I did some more filming with Smash TV Canada, which I don't think on the last podcast, on the last Anything Cast, the video I was in was actually out.
No, it is currently out and up on the site.
Yes, it is in the video graveyard. It's hilarious. I take ice cream to my face.
Yeah, but if you're just looking for it on YouTube and don't feel like going to the site, it's LOLmark.
By Smash TV Canada. So I did some more filming with them. I can't honestly talk too much about it because I was working on their super secret project. In a location I'm not allowed to talk about.
Isn't it great? It's like, it was great work with Smash TV on. Man, it was so great filming at the.
Well, I can describe the location. I just can't really say where it is.
Yeah.
Those are their rules. But anyways, actually, no, I can't describe too much. Anyways, so I came back from Toronto from the Tobuscus trip and literally from the train station went over to Jay's place to leave and go 2 hours away, we'll say, in a direction.
Yeah, because clearly everyone knows, because clearly if you said what direction you were going, everyone would know where the place is, because... Obviously, these people know the layout of London.
Yeah, well, we went 2 hours out of the... That's 2 hours out of the city in a direction to another city. And in this city, we went to an abandoned... And... So we went there to film. And the project we were working on is called The Veil, which, if you want to know any details about that, you have to... follow them on Facebook. Because that is where they put out things for The Veil.
Okay.
I could say one thing. It's basically, it's a sci-fi web series. It's one of the actual serious series they're creating. And honestly, it looks like it's going to be really cool when it's done.
But right now it looks like shit.
well, no, right now it looks really good. Good. They have, like, thousands and thousands of dollars worth of filming equipment, a lot of it custom-made. Honestly, Chris is a fucking electrical genius. And yes, I could talk about these people. They had their names out publicly, so I could talk about them. Ha!
Yeah, as soon as it gets posted, they get, like, a cease and desist order. It's like, you said our names, motherfuckers.
As long as I don't say their locations or tell anything about what was being filmed. I'll tell you this, it was fun because it was an overnight shoot, so we started filming at like midnight, and we were filming for a good 3.5 hours. And while I can't describe my costume, I can tell you this, I couldn't see out of it, I couldn't breathe in it, and it was freezing cold.
So they were trying to kill you.
Maybe, because this is a pretty hazardous set, and I couldn't see, and I had to...
And you couldn't breathe, and you...
I had to move around this set quite a bit while not able to see anything.
As far as I'm going to get y'all fucking tripped.
I'll tell you the episode I'm going to be in is episode 6. I won't tell you anything about what happens, but when the veil comes out, episode 6, you'll see me. Well, you won't see me, because I'm in costume, so you won't really know it's me, but that's me.
Okay.
So yeah, that was a fun little experience. There may have been police involved. There may not have been.
We may have killed a hooker. We may not have.
There may or may not have been dogs with the police. I may or may not be terrified of police dogs now.
We may or may not have summoned a demon.
Who knows what happened, right? It's all top secret.
Yeah,
we
may or
may not have been wearing socks.
Yes. They may or may not have some of the ancient ones, Cthulhu Fathagen.
it was honestly, it was a fun night, and it was fucking tiring and fucking cold, but it was fun. I'm going to talk about some of the non-filming antics, though, because those we're allowed to talk about. So, you know how you have to do a sound check? Make sure your mic's picking you up?
Yep.
Unlike us, which we don't do that, really.
Because our mic settings don't really change from episode to episode.
Yeah. Well, this thing happened. Their sound guy, he got annoyed with a certain word being said on set, which was nipples. people were saying nipples a lot on set, and he's the sound guy, so he has to listen to everything. So now every sound check is nipples. Nipples, nipples, nipples. Sometimes Jay will throw some other stuff in there, like scrotum or butt sex. Nipples.
Why did not like nipples?
Just he said at one point they were filming and people were saying nipples a lot, and he basically said, I don't want to hear that word anymore. What can I say? Also, you know, as we're driving there over the walkie talkies, because we're in two cars, nipples over. probably the funniest thing to happen of the night, though, was Jay stealing Chris's car.
Okay.
This is...
How did this happen? Did he just...
Basically, Chris had pulled up to Walmart because he had to go buy some car batteries. Car batteries are required to run all the filming equipment. I actually can't even remember if this is Chris's car. Chris is just driving. I'm pretty sure it's his car. Anyways. And then Jay pulls up behind him. And he runs up to the car... gets in, sits there for a little bit, comes back, and myself and one of the other cast members who were in the car with Jay, when he comes back, we're like, we thought you were just going to pull it away and park it. He's like, should I? And we're like, yes. So he does, because Chris has left the car running, he gets in the car, he pulls it away, he parks it somewhere else.
So he only did this because you egged him on.
Well, yeah, but...
Like, I thought it was like a carjacking thing, or just like, it was like, you know, Chris... goes, parks the car, is like, huh. Then all of a sudden, like, an elbow comes flying through the window, grabs him, throws him out, and then dives in and just drives away.
It's hey, like, we're not jackass, okay?
Like, oh, what the fuck?
Okay, we do stupid things, we have fun, but we're not jackass.
If it was jackass, you would have put him in the trunk. And then covered him in pubes or something.
Whatever we have to do to escalate it from the previous season, right?
Oh, yeah. It's like, this season, I'm going to shoot my face off the shotgun.
What is that sound?
It's your mics.
Why can I hear it?
I don't fucking know. I know that for the past half an hour, your mics are just going zing, zing, zing.
Why didn't you say something?
Because you then would have moved stuff, and it could have brought back the horrible death buzz.
I think I know what's going on. I think our headphones are crossed with the mic.
You cross the streams?
I cross the streams, yeah.
You never cross the stream, do you? Come on.
I don't want to pick cross the streams, though.
Total protonic reversal. That's what it was, right?
Yeah.
Photonic or protonic? I know it was otonic, something.
I think it's photonic.
Yeah, so we reverse.
You guys.
Yeah, so we reverse. So we reverse light.
It's Ghostbusters. It's not real science.
Yeah, it's light screen.
Photon stream to trap a ghost.
So you guys are failing to talk fake.
Protonic.
Science.
Okay, protonic reversal then. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Because it's a proton stream. Yeah,
that's a double fail.
And plus, you know, reversing light.
That would be deadly.
Reversing light. Really?
Anyways, so that I definitely wasn't on this dangerous set pushing random buttons or anything. Because let's just say it's the type of set that has buttons.
Ooh, buttons.
Pushed.
Everywhere.
I love pushing buttons.
Now, as far as we know, the power's been cut off to this place. So none of the buttons should blow us up. But I like pushing the big red ones.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't? I mean, they're so big and shiny, it's like they want to be pushed.
I love that game.
What game?
Have you guys played the game, Don't Push the Red Button?
Well, I have, yes.
Dead Man? Oh my god, you have to play that game!
Was it just a flash thing of a big button that you can't press?
Yeah, it says, button, do not press.
Oh, hang on, I'm gonna find this.
It's really, really awesome, and I'm not just being sarcastic here. I love this game. Every once in a while, every few months, I'll play it, I'll smile and laugh.
I wonder if Don't Push the Red Button 2 is any good.
It's decent. Let's see if we can find a link for people to play it with. But yeah.
People Google Don't Push the Red Button. There you go.
Hang on. You might come up with the wrong thing, because some people have copied it. Ah, here it is.
Ta-da! Link. Link will be at the bottom of the post for this podcast.
We'll have to put it there, because I ain't.
Link in the chat.
It is fun. You have to play it, Dead Man. It's great. And play it to the end, if there is an end to play to.
So it's seriously just... You just a big button, and you just have to look at it and not do anything with it?
No. Just play it.
Just play the game. Not push the red button.
You're not explaining what
or
the
you
game...
Could, I'll tell you this, the button is pressable.
I know it's... I figured it was pressable.
But you're not supposed to press it. But you can press it. That's
yes.
The game.
Press it and see what happens.
So that's the entire game. The game is just, hey, here's this button. Don't fucking push it. So you just sit there and stare at it.
There's something else to it that becomes hilarious, but I won't spoil it for you.
Because if we said it, it would be completely spoiled, and then it wouldn't be funny, so you have to play the game.
No.
Fine, be stubborn.
I'll play the game if you write an article.
Oh, write an article about do not push the red button.
About something real. Important.
No, just a game review on do not press the red button.
Ah!
Minimum 1,000 words.
Oh, you really want to say that?
You've asked for it now.
I don't give a fuck. Editor-in-chief, I set word limits.
Just you wait. You do know that I am a major troll, right?
Yeah, but again, I have to approve the article.
It will be 1,000 words,
and
it will
posted.
Be about the game.
It'll just be writing don't press the red button over and over again, won't you?
Nope.
No, she'll write an honest to God article.
Okay.
An in-depth psychological analytical view of this game of do not push the red button.
Okay.
And it won't make any sense, except to me.
Okay, it won't get published and I won't play the game then.
I will have written the article, I completed your guidelines, so...
Has to be an article. You have to write an article that I would publish.
Well, that's not a guideline.
Yeah, it is.
No, you have to write out exactly what qualifies.
It has to be something that that'd be something I would go through, edit, and then put on the site.
How am I supposed to know what would qualify as that?
By writing an article and seeing what I say about it.
Well, I'm not going to write an article,
so
then.
So far you've published everything I've written, and some of my stuff's been pretty fucking stupid.
Yeah, because I've gone through and edited it.
Yeah, but you haven't taken out too much.
I know.
You mostly fixed my italicization.
Yeah, that seems to be a problem with a lot of people. Like, every single person that, like, writes a review for, like, writes an article for us, they never get the they never italicize titles.
I actually did that for my Dawn Guard review and my Amazing Spider-Man review. Those really fucking long ones. I went through and I found every time I needed to italicize, and I did it.
Yeah, but, like, Steven wrote an article recently that I asked him to, I think it was about RoboCop.
Yeah, he did the RoboCop one.
Yeah, so he italicized, so he said RoboCop in there a lot, like, as a title of a movie, not just a character name. Italicized it once.
Yeah, the big thing is differentiating them, and if you're talking about the movie, you have to italicize it. If you're talking about the character, I had to, like, basically what I do when I write a long review, I'm sorry I didn't do it in my past couple articles, I will. I control F anything that I need to italicize, and then I look around it. Am I talking about the character, or the movie, or the other movie, in the case of The Amazing Spider-Man? Mm-hmm. Am I talking about the character, or this movie, or the other movie?
Well, with the character, it would be pretty easy, because, you know, he's a Spider-Man, you know, he's not actually, his character name isn't The Amazing Spider-Man, it's Spider-Man. It's been a while since I did it, so were there any instances in your article where you actually called Spider-Man The Amazing Spider-Man and not as the title of the movie?
No, but I did talk about Spider-Man the movie.
Oh, okay.
So I did have to differentiate those two.
Yeah, that really sucks, like, when you're doing that, because I remember when the Forsaken one, who will not be named ever again, when he did his Skyrim review, I was going through editing that. He didn't italicize anything.
You know, I honestly feel like I wish I had gotten Skyrim earlier and I had done the review, because you saw how long my review of Dawn Guard was.
Yeah.
My Skyrim review would have been, like, massive.
Oh, yeah, it would have been fucking huge.
Remember those ISU lugs from high school? Would have been that.
Fucking don't ever bring those up again. And your buzzing on your microphone's getting worse.
Getting worse, eh?
Yeah.
I don't see much about that right now.
Now it's whistling.
It's because whistling. You're not pressing the red button.
I'm not supposed to.
But you can.
But I'm not supposed to.
But you can.
It's not a real...
Why do you follow the rules?
Since it's not a real button.
Yeah, it is a button. It's pressable.
It's a flash pressable button. I'm talking about it like...
Called it a button.
If it was a physical button, you know, something that I can actually feel... Something I can actually put my finger on and actually feel it depress into whatever it depresses into. And then hear it go click as soon as it hits the bottom.
But you are pressing a button to press the button.
I could mod a Staples Easy button to do not push the red button.
You're missing the point. He's pressing a button to press the button.
No, I'm clicking a mouse to press... The mouse isn't a button.
The mouse has two buttons. Or three buttons, depending on what it is. They are buttons.
Don't consider those buttons.
They are buttons.
What are you clicking, then?
The mouse.
What is the mouse?
The thing I click.
Yes, God, but what exactly on the mouse are you clicking? Are you clicking the back end underneath of it?
Yeah.
You're clicking the bottom of your mouse?
I click in the entire mouse.
So the entire thing goes clink?
Yep.
So it's at one big button?
No, it's a mouse.
Go on the back.
Nope, I'm on a PC. You've seen my PC. I brought it to your place.
You're pressing a button.
No, I'm not. I'm clicking a mouse. Clicking a mouse.
You press the top of the mouse to click it. So you're pressing a button. You're using physical force to make it go click.
No, I'm not using mental force to make it go click.
It's still clicking. It's still moving.
That's it. Stop it, you two. You're both being ridiculous. Well, no, actually. He's being ridiculous, and he won't stop. So just stop.
Physics says you're pressing a button.
Physics doesn't dictate what's a button.
Physics your face. fix up your face physics and then get back to me.
That doesn't even make sense.
Yes, it does. Just because you're too dumb to understand what that means doesn't mean it does not make sense.
So while you two are talking about buttons, I'm going to go and shut down my DVD link account.
Fuck. Mm.
Enjoy your button talk.
There are a lot of spiders in my bathroom.
Well, good for you. I hope they bite you. I hope they press and click the buttons on your mouse while you're sleeping.
You're never gonna let that go.
No, I won't.
She doesn't let anything go.
But yeah, I'm fucking serious. Like, today I'm gonna have a shower, and on the way between, like, closing the door to the bathroom and getting into the shower, I killed 5 spiders. And there were still more when I came out.
They're after your fly minions.
Defend them. The flies aren't my minions, though. They don't do anything for me except annoy me.
Exactly.
Like, they are always crawling on my computer screen while I'm doing something.
They're annoying minions.
If minions do shit that you tell them to.
Oh my god, you're an SCP. No, I'm serious. I read about one of the SCPs about, oh god, I'm sorry, dude. I'm so sorry for you. I'm so sorry. You actually have a colony of random types of vermin in your body cavity, like worms and flies and rats.
It starts out
with the little ones like the flies, and then it progresses to the bigger ones like spiders. Eventually, it will be rats.
I don't poop flies.
No. You don't poop flies or anything like that. The SCP just gets swarmed by vermin. Flies, spiders, worms, rats.
You said I had vermin in my orifices.
Yes, they are inside you, and they will leave you once you die.
They don't go in me, though.
They just have been inside you since birth.
They haven't. The fly thing is relatively new.
It's a progressive disease.
It's not like as I got older, shit, like, more flies started coming toward me. It's just one day. They're just everywhere.
It's transferable.
Well, maybe person to person. That SCP, maybe he's a new one that just gets followed by varying degrees of vermin.
Your mom was preventing them from swarming you all your life. She's been slacking lately. I'm so sorry, dead man. I'll contact SCP for you. They'll come and pick you up in 3 days.
3 days? Man, SCP's faster than that.
3 hours.
They're already there.
You just can't see them yet.
Wait, how is my mom keeping them at bay? Like,
hell if I know.
Fly swatter.
We just got fly swatters when we moved into this house less than a year ago.
She's gotten lazy.
She has one special fly swatter, and once a year, she sacrifices a human with the fly swatter.
That'd even be slower than death by spoon.
Yes, it would.
Yes, it would.
It would hurt like hell, too. Just whack, whack, slap, whack.
Well, it all depends on, like, how hard you're slapping. Like, you know, start out, it would hurt a bit, but then, like, as time would go on, you get a bit tired, like, ugh. Like, keep in mind, my mom's 50. Over 50.
It's an electric fly swatter.
No, sorry, she hasn't sacrificed
so, fly is, swatter. Is it like one of those... It's like one of those tennis racket things that have, like, electric charge going through them?
Yeah, she sacrifices a human with a bug zapper.
Oh, I remember, like, back when we had a trailer, some friends of mine that were up there, they actually had one of those little, like, tennis racket things where you push down the button, like, bugs go on them, and they just burn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I put one of those to my nipple once.
They stuck their tongue in it.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Wait, what did they gain for sticking their tongue in it?
Nothing.
See,
idiots.
I got $20 for sticking it to my nipple.
Well, yeah, remember, these are people who, like, spend a lot of their time in a trailer park. I was there, like, a couple days a week. They were there at all times. Of course they were dumb enough to, like, we're gonna go take a tongue of this thing.
And then they have no feeling in their tongue for the rest of their life. Their speech is impaired. Their sense of taste is impaired.
Their speech is already impaired.
Glue tastes like chocolate pudding to them now.
I'm guessing glue already tasted like that. I mean, they are trailer park people, remember?
Glue is their pudding.
Yeah.
For rice pudding, they just put some glue in with the rice instead.
No, it's not even that. They put you know how like some glue, if you like leave some of it on the cap, it like solidifies on there.
Mm.
It was just a bowl of that covered in glue, fresh from the bottle. So it was the hard, crunchy glue with the soft, newly applied glue. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was impressive, thinking that up in a few seconds. You've been eating that your whole life. Moving on.
Bitch, you don't know me.
You've been eating that your whole life, haven't you?
No. I don't eat glue.
Trying to keep the flies at bay inside your body cavity. Maybe I can glue them to one big clump and pass it.
Actually, now that you mention it, since he's left, the fruit flies have certainly been at bay.
Yeah, there's no fruit flies in here.
So before I came, there were no fruit flies. And when I came, there were fruit flies. And then when I left, there are no fruit flies anymore.
Exactly.
Are you being fucking serious?
Actually, we don't have fruit flies here. We don't have anything out that they would eat.
Actually, yes. Although the time frame doesn't exactly match up, it's close enough to make me wonder.
I don't know what it is. Bugs follow me.
I'm telling you.
No, you're fucking not.
SCP.
You know none of that shit is real, right?
You're not real.
Then how are we having this podcast?
I'm not real.
You have very vivid imaginations. There was really never any website. Shucks, because I just got like 250 business cards.
Yeah, those business cards aren't real.
You know, those people in the chat, they're not real.
Ninja Kitty's not real either. This is all some weird Tommy Westfall thing. This is all taking place inside, like, Bovey Wan's autistic mind.
Yes, he's secretly...
Who else isn't real?
Everyone. Do you guys not know what Tommy Westfall is? Like, the Tommy Westfall hypothesis?
No.
Okay, so there was this TV show on back, like, some time ago, called, I think it was, I think it was like Saint Everywhere or something. It was a hospital show where it was just a hospital show, and it occasionally like crossed over different TV shows. And so, yeah, Saint Elsewhere is what it was called. And so at the end of the show, it was revealed through all of this shit that actually everything that happened in the show Saint Elsewhere took place inside the imagination of this autistic kid called Tommy Westfall. And so the Tommy Westfall universe hypothesis is stating that not only did Saint Elsewhere take place inside Tommy's mind, but every show that like had a crossover with this thing happened. Like, so some Saint Elsewhere characters appear in the TV show Homicide: Life on the Street. So everything that took place in life in Homicide: Life on the Street took place inside Tommy Westfall's head. And it is insane. Some of the shit that happens in here. Yeah, like, so Movie Bob, in his show The Big Picture, he did an entire episode about the Tommy Westfall hypothesis, and outlined, like, a bunch of the shows that actually took place inside this kid's head, according to the hypothesis. It's fucking awesome. And the...
I heard it.
Sounds getting badder, worse.
I don't know what to do about it. Maybe you should play Do Not Press the Red Button.
Unless me playing that fixes your microphones.
I believe it will. Have faith, dead man.
Fuck faith. I had faith for years and it got me nothing.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to figure out how to fix these fucking wireless mics.
Yeah. So anyway.
Do you guys like tea biscuits?
Nah, I don't think I've ever had any.
Have you ever had any arrowroots?
I don't know what those are.
Arrowroot cookies? Baby cookies?
Probably.
Well,
nope, don't remember them.
You'd like them, and you don't get any, but I do. Oh.
Can I have some?
No. They're all mine. Stay the fuck back as a gun.
You don't.
Oh, yeah? What's in my hand right now?
A gun.
Exactly.
What happened?
Well, he took his gun, he put it to the guy's head, and he pulled the trigger.
Boom. That's not what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what. Yes, it was. He killed somebody else with it.
It's like, wait a minute, that isn't what happened. He put the gun to his head, put it to his head, boom. Yeah, he killed somebody else, and then killed himself. And then, Brian Frenzy just,
what
happened?
No.
It's like, Mommy, what happened to Daddy? Well, honey.
Yeah, I've got a set of guns here that I'm working on. Basically, I'm making them legally and physically no longer airsoft pistols. And then I'm painting them.
To look like real pistols.
So, those pistols, does the slide move on them?
Yep.
Cool. Yeah.
And they have a droppable magazine. That's why I'm starting with airsoft pistols. However,
oh, dip.
Those aren't legally replicas. They are legally firearms. They're just uncontrolled firearms. So I have removed their firing pins, but that still leaves them in a gray zone because they can be modified to be firearms, so I'm going to fill their barrels.
Yeah, man, I want a gun. Like, not a real gun. Like, I've watched a lot of film, right, recently, and they start, like, the guns they use are, like, gas guns, where, like, you pull a thing and then, like, the trigger, like, the slide moves back and shit, and I just want a gun like that.
Oh, you want one that fancy? I was gonna say, I could make you one of these for, like, $10.
It's like, I just want a gun that I can shoot, and then, like, the thing pulls back.
Yeah, but, no, those guns are expensive. Yeah,
I know, I looked at prices. Like, cheapest one I saw was $100.
Well, if you want one that you could just, you know, reload and pull the trigger and nothing will happen, $10.
I want the slide to move.
Well, then you're going to pay 10 times more.
Yeah, or find a way for us to actually get business stuff and like write off as business expense.
Or become an engineer.
That seems like too much work, and there's all that learning. Just make a business, write it off on your taxes as a business expense. Because we may use it in videos if we ever start doing videos, because we may start doing videos. You don't know.
Yeah, if I was ever going to do videos that involve guns, I would probably try and partner with Smash TV Canada. I should be like, hey Jay, I have this thing I want to make. Can you help me?
It's like, you do it, I want to shoot somebody. No, like, video.
He wants to make that film that I made at one point.
Yeah, I'm going to write up a script for that.
I'm going to shoot you, kitty.
I'll need your help.
Want to shoot me?
Yeah, just with on video, just, hey guys, I'm doing this Ninja Kitty. Blap. This is all. End of video. Roll credits.
Now, I think Chris could actually video edit it to make slides go back, because they just use airsoft pistols.
I don't give a fuck. I want to actually physically go back. I want to do that.
You just want me to be there, say hi, and then cut it?
No.
I don't understand. Why?
I want to shoot you. I don't know why. I like shooting. I don't know why, okay? I want to shoot somebody.
You mean film, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because you're very confusing me. Yeah. All of a sudden, you're like, I want to shoot somebody. I'm like,
get a gas gun or some gun where when you pull the trigger, the slide goes back.
I could honestly probably design one, but it would take me a while. Because I'm good with mechanical stuff, believe it or not. I don't know what I'm doing, but I can just tinker and figure it out. Like, I'm actually considering creating a slide catch for these pistols.
That way,
you can have it in the empty but back position.
It's a bit late, but that was what he said.
What?
I don't know what I'm doing, but I can tinker
and figure it out.
Figure it out. I see what you did there.
I didn't want to interrupt what you were saying, but I did it anyways.
Yeah, I might design a slide catch for these pistols. Basically, one's for me, one's for Kaz.
Oh, okay.
She's commissioning me to create a prop pistol that she can use at conventions.
I'll be borrowing one when I cosplay as Zoe from Left 4 Dead.
Yes, because these are actually the Left 4 Dead 1 pistols, the Colt M1911A1.
Oh, the Colt, Colt M1911.
Yes, I just said all the numbers because, yeah.
Because fuck it.
It's actually the 1911A1 because it's hard to find the original 1911. Because, you know, they stopped making them in 1924.
Oh. Figure they would have stopped making them, you know, 1911.
No, that's just when the pistol was designed, or the design was finished.
Was the design modded? Was the design modded at any point, so we got, like, 1912s or 24s?
Well, the design changed in 1924, and that's called the 1911A1.
Why can't guns work like cars? Like, just, hey, we got new models. Like, what is it? Well, it's the M1924. Or like, hey, it's the M2012.
Because they still want to pay homage to the original designer.
You do, with the M and the year it was designed.
Except a lot of people use the M now.
Okay.
Anyways, like...
Do they all use the year it was designed?
Well, that's the thing. If they said... If they just changed it to the 1924, then it'd be a different number. Instead, they made it 1911A1.
Which is still different.
Yes, but you've still got the 1911 in there. If you changed it, it'd be the Colt 1924. When it's only had, like, two things changed.
Yeah, exactly. Again, work like cars. Yeah, new design each year, but new design each year with only, like, one or two things changed. Like, hey, now the tires are different.
What are cars? Why are they relevant? I don't understand.
He's comparing cars to guns, which is... See, cars release a new model every single year. Guns don't do that.
So?
For example... Well, I guess there have been some new models, but the main model of the 1911 was released... That was last changed in 1924.
Mm-hmm. So? Then have, like, the class, like...
So it's not like a car.
They have, like, the 1911 Classic and the 1924. There we go, boom, I don't fucking care. Fuck people.
Your face.
Oh, I'm tired.
Yeah, well, I'm very excited about Tobuscus. And isn't there a friend of Jay's that knows Tobuscus or something like that?
Yeah, there's a friend of Jay's. Well, a friend of Jay's who knows Tobuscus but is, like, close friends with Jax Films.
Ah, yes. The guy who only produces one funny video a week.
So I might meet Tobuscus.
I don't know, I find most of Jax's stuff funny, but then again, I find Tobuscus stuff funny.
I like that your grammar sucks. And Higgs boson. That was a good video.
I don't know. I liked his Ray William Johnson parody.
The bit where, like, the Tobuscus parody thing that he did was pretty good.
And honestly, dubstep solves everything.
True.
It's hilarious.
But his, like, mouth dubstep is kind of shit.
That it's supposed to be. That's supposed to be good.
No, I mean, like, in terms of, like, shitty mouth dubstep. I've heard better terrible mouth dubstep.
But it's... I don't get what your issue is.
I don't know. I'm tired. Moving on. Oh, well.
News!
It
news.
Is time for news of the...
So hang on. Our first news piece is that no one in the chat is talking to us anymore.
Yeah, people can give a fuck. This is for people at home. Like, on Monday. But so, Apple and Samsung have been having a court battle over the past little while because of tablet computer designs. And so Apple has emerged victorious and has gotten $1.05 billion off the case.
Wait, so what was the issue here?
Let's see here. I believe that it was something about patent infringement on like the iPhone and iPad. Yeah, so, after a short 3 days of deliberation, a California court has found that Samsung infringed on six of the seven Apple patents originally brought to the case.
Well, at least they got off on that one.
Yeah, and the jury also found that Apple did not infringe on any Samsung patents with the iPhone or iPad. So yeah, Apple beat Samsung.
Yarp. Isn't Samsung from, like, say, Korea or something?
Probably.
So, yeah, that means the market's going to be more flooded with Apple stuff. Do you think they'll take this money and maybe make their products a bit cheaper?
Nope.
No.
Yeah. And considering already that, like, to make the products, it costs, like, what, $25 in a Chinese sweatshop?
I know, like...
Then there's the cost to ship them to, like, 100 different places after they're finished. They have to ship them overseas. They have to ship them to a factory, like, outlet store, and then they get shipped to the individual retailers.
All right, so...
And so every iPhone out there costs $600 because shipping?
Because the Apple people need to make money. The Apple employees need to make money. All their CEOs need to make money. All the people that shipped the product need to make money for what they've done. The people in the retail stores need to make money to maintain their store, to pay their employees, and stuff like that.
Okay, that's a valid point, but it's also the same for the 15 different companies that make the same products for half the price.
Yeah.
And
Apple
cheap
way
off
fucking
of,
overcharges.
Notice how all the products that are lookalikes to Apple stuff come out after Apple has brought them out. It's because they look at the technology and they say, okay, now that they've designed it, let's make our own version.
Honestly, no. In several cases, including with the iPad, there was already technology out that did the same thing. Maybe not quite as well, but it already existed, and people just think Apple was the first.
But you know what
as
I mean,
As well,
though.
It's not worse technology. I mean, yeah, let's make an iPhone that works in the fucking winter.
Yeah. let's make an iPhone people can afford without giving up central heating.
But they don't have to start from scratch.
They already didn't have to, because the technology already existed.
Technology already existed. What Apple is really good at is copying pre-existing technology, making it slightly better, selling it to the masses, and making it popular.
Yes, for thousands of dollars.
They're not,
like, per product.
They're not as innovative as people think.
Yeah. So moving on. Microsoft has changed its logo.
Yep. That's nice.
Yep, so it is the exact same logo, except now completely square. And not wavy.
So kind of like how it used to be. Wasn't it at one point more square than it is now?
No, now it's like completely square. It is just a square. Whatever, moving on. So, in China... Because we do a lot of stories from China. A guy who 7 years ago, 7 years ago stole all the space bars from internet cafes has now returned them.
Oh.
Yeah, so the reason he stole these space bars is because he was upset by the noise they created when people were playing an online rhythm game called Audition Dance Battle Online. He didn't like the noise, so... The guy stole all the space bars.
Sounds like a logical solution.
Yep. And so, 7 years after he stole them all, he returned them.
After they've bought new keyboards.
Yep.
Well, it's a thought that counts.
Yeah. So, the owner of the internet cafe that had all their space bars stolen said, "I had originally thought it was just vandalism. Because of this, we had to put in more video cameras and replace the missing keys. Sometimes we had to replace the whole keyboard." So, yeah. No one was looking for this guy, and he just said, "You know what? I'm going to give these space bars back." Yeah. He just had a bag of space bars, walked into the internet cafe, said, "Oh, hey, I got some space bars for you," drops them on the counter, and then walks away. Fucking yeah. Oh well. So, moving on to the next piece of news. So, the Netflix app on Xbox 360 uses a form of the Konami code to change the settings of the app.
And what is that?
Up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, select, start.
Okay.
But you guys didn't know what the Konami code was?
Yeah, no, I know of the Konami code. I just had a brain fart.
So yeah, the variation they're using is up, up, down, down, left, right, up, 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 up. So yeah, from there you're able to change settings on the Netflix app. So moving on. Scientists have created a video game for studying fish.
That's as great as those like really lame golfing games that were in like two dimensions, extremely pixelated, and yeah.
Actually, yeah, so the game was designed, well actually it was a simulation, to test the survival tactics of fish. They just use their screen thing to insert a fake predator into an aquarium and then watch what happened when the fish moved.
Why didn't they actually do that? That's so much more entertaining.
They don't want fish to die.
Why not?
They just wanted to scare them. But yeah, so the fish they were testing were bluegill sunfish. And so senior researcher Ian Cuisen from Princeton University said, effectively, the bluegills were playing an immersive video game in which they hunted. Yeah. They just scared the fuck out of some fish, because why not? So.
Sounds like a cheap afternoon.
So, moving on. So, Michael Bay's Ninja Turtle movie.
I thought that was dead.
It is, but some things have been leaked about it. So the guys over at TMNT, not T-A-N-T, got their hands on the script and released a bunch of plot details about the movie that would have been. Such as, in this movie, the Shredder was actually called Colonel Schrader. And who has an army called the Foot, but no idea why they're actually called that. So, Casey Jones is no longer a hockey mask vigilante. Instead, he is an 18-year-old security guard for a furniture factory, and he's an amateur hockey player. April O'Neil was Casey's high school girlfriend who moved to New York City to become an intern at CBS. Not that bad.
Yeah, not as bad as what they did to Casey.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so the script pointed out there's a lot of teenage drama filled drama in the midst of the heroic alien creatures fighting evil. So, you know, they took a lesson from Transformers, wherein, you know, nobody wants to see the big robots fighting. They want teenage drama shit. It's like, oh, Casey Jones is trying to get back in April O'Neil's pants while, you know, there's turtles fucking fighting space shit in the background, because, yeah, that's what people want to see.
No, they're fighting Colonel Schrader and his army.
Yeah, and so the movie would actually focus a lot on Casey and April, while the turtles were more side characters.
God damn it, Michael Bay. Shove your head up your own ass.
Yeah, so Rocksteady and Bebop would be in it. They're the... Yeah, fuck, what were they? They... Was the turtle and the pig?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure Bebop was the pig.
Yeah.
So, Master Splinter wouldn't be in it.
Of course, because they're aliens. They just show up from space.
Yeah.
To fight on Earth.
Yeah, and so let me just say this. So, I'm just going to read this verbatim from the site. So, okay, here's the worst bit. Actually, says, okay, he's the worst bit. Our reptilian heroes explained to Casey that they were once normal turtles, but they got mutated by a chemical spill to become how they are now. Later in the movie, they get sent into Dimension X to find out that they're actually part of an entire race of alien turtles, and that they are the chosen ones.
Huh? How does that work?
I have no idea. They go to the fucking Utrom dimension, and yeah, it's... I don't even...
I don't understand. I'm so confused. My brain hurts.
So they thought they were the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, like for them, they were just TMNT. They had no idea they were aliens. They were just, yeah, dude, we're turtles, and then shit spilled on us, and now Cowabunga and Reaganomics.
And why was Master Splinter not in this? Well, I guess there's no alien race of rat people.
Yeah, and like, but how they learn ninja shit then? Like, Master Splinter taught them how to be ninjas. So, did they just instinctively know how to be ninjas?
Chosen ones.
That. Okay, so a while ago on the comic podcast, we talked about the merits of the new Ninja Turtles, how they learned ninjutsu by being the reincarnations of ninja people.
Uh-huh.
That makes more sense than this!
Yes, it does. I never said it made sense. I'm just saying that's how Michael Bay would have explained it.
Michael Bay wouldn't have explained it. He'd just been like, Michael Bay, how are the ninjas? Fuck you. Then blow up.
I'm Michael Bay. That's how.
It's like I don't fucking know. They got exposed to chemicals in an explosion that happened at a kung fu movie store or whatever. I don't fucking know. Stupid bullshit. But yeah, so Peter Laird, the guy who co-created the Ninja Turtles, saw the script and said this about it. Someone else alerted me to the existence of the script, and I just a few minutes ago finished reading it. If it is, in fact, the actual draft that was rejected and caused the production of the next TMNT movie to be pushed back to 2014 because the script was unsatisfactory, then I think all true TMNT fans should be grateful to the new powers that be that they did not allow this wretched thing to go any further. It could definitely be taken as a good sign if that is the case.
So, basically, Michael Bay's statement that the creators of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know, were all for this movie was full of shit.
He lied.
Yeah. Yeah, but he said they were all for the movie. He didn't say they were all for the script.
Ah.
Yeah, so, apparently, Superman and Wonder Woman have Match.com profiles. And according to its users, Superman is the most kissable superhero in the world.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And this is all spinning out of Justice League issue 12, where Superman and Wonder Woman make out. Because, you know, that is totally a thing that people want to see happen.
There are some people who honestly would, but people who are actually invested in the comics...
I fucking don't. It's so fucking stupid.
As you said on the comics podcast, it doesn't really make sense. There's nothing to make those two compatible.
Yeah, and it's just, oh god. It's so stupid. Fuck! So moving on. The Binding of Isaac is being remade and coming to consoles and PC again.
The Binding of Isaac?
Yeah, The Binding of Isaac. It is a fantastic little game. It is a combination of Smash TV, the original game, Legend of Zelda, and a roguelike. Yeah, so it's set up like Legend of Zelda with like each individual room, and then you like go through the doors that lead to the next room, and like enemies respawn each time you go through the doors.
And you lose your key after you use it?
Yes.
Oh my god.
And so it's set up like Smash TV, where you like... where, like, your only means of defense is shooting in one of four directions.
Is there a water temple that everyone hates?
No, it's all taking place in a basement.
Oh.
Yeah, because, so, Isaac's mom is, like, really insanely religious. And so she heard the voice of God saying that Isaac was evil. And that she needed to kill him, so that he was like, oh, fuck this, and jumped into his basement. Where a bunch of, like, really fucked up, like, birth defecty brothers and sisters of his lived.
What?
Yep. So yeah, The Binding of Isaac being remade. So the title will be, quote, a remake with a Wrath of the Lamb size expansion added to it, plus more, and it won't be out until next year. But McMillan, the artist, I think, for the game, wants to bring this thing to all consoles, including the Ouya, if the publisher wants it to. And the console and he also says the console version will have a bunch of new modes, new bosses, new items, new playable characters, new co-op feature, and a million other ways, and a million other things that you don't get in the Flash version.
All right. I'm still very confused by this game about the whole mutated...
It's a very good game. Like, I have it, and I've played it a lot. It's very good.
I may try it when I'm feeling very, very strange and or have eaten fudge.
But yeah. So, moving on to the next piece of news. October 5th is now Global James Bond Day.
So everyone has to wear a bow tie.
James Bond doesn't always wear a bow tie.
It's more epic when he does. Bow ties are cool.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, so October 5th is Global James Bond Day. It's a day to celebrate and be James Bond.
So, wait, it's October what?
5th.
5th. I will remember that, and I will run around with a bow tie on. And a gun.
So moving
probably on. Gold Desert Eagle.
So moving on to the next bit of news. LeBron James wants Space Jam 2.
No.
You.
Yeah, so the original Space Jam was a fucking bizarre movie where Michael Jordan and the Looney Tunes face off against cartoon alien things. The Martian All-Stars, I think they called them. It was a weird fucking movie. I'm not even sure about it. But yeah, so LeBron James tweeted recently, "I love that movie. Wish I could do Space Jam 2. See, he doesn't just want it to happen. He wants to be in it.
God.
Oh.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Leave it to die. Move on.
This next piece of news. Charlie Sheen. He tried to play Spider-Man once.
Ew.
Yeah.
No. I don't believe you.
Yeah, so this was back in the olden times, before he was crazy on Tiger Blood. Yeah, so in a recent... So he told the story on the More Stories podcast, a podcast by Jay Moore. And so, I had an office at Orion at the time, and I brought them Spider-Man. I said, look, in a couple of years, I'll be too old to play Peter Parker. And they said, yeah, we're just thinking that cartoons are not the future. Comic books are not the future. And I said, but it's Spider-Man. I'm perfect. And they were like, nah, we're going to wait.
And then they got what's his face. God damn it.
Goddamn Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield. Freaking amazing.
Yes, just picture that. Charlie Sheen as Spider-Man.
Would have been better than Tobey Maguire.
No, but like Charlie Sheen of like Two and a Half Men era Charlie Sheen as Spider-Man.
Okay, maybe not.
Oh wait, actually now, like current version of Charlie Sheen. Just he goes in there, he does a line of cocaine, and there's like, fuck, let's do this, and jumps off a building.
Okay, I could see a really young Charlie Sheen.
That would an old as fuck Charlie Sheen. Like, make it about Spider-Girl. Where Spider-Man is her dad, and, like she's in her teenage years, she's, like, starting to do her powers and shit, but you just see, like, her dad is coming, like, all old as fuck, like, oh, please tell me you're not going out again.
You know, they could still potentially do that.
No one would make a Spider-Girl movie. Nobody. But yeah, so moving on to our final piece of news. And this is a bit of a weird one, because the article is from 2009. But I felt like it needed to be talked... I felt like we needed to talk about it.
Okay.
So, the National Domestic Violence Hotline has 15 criteria that are used to describe an emotionally or physically abusive relationship. Edward and Bella's relationship in the Twilight series meets all 15 criteria.
What series? Who cares about what? No, what? You said twiddly what?
Twilight. Is that like the thing from Zelda?
That is. So they'll be like, oh no, rescue me every goddamn time.
So here are the criteria they have. Does your partner look at you or act in ways that scare you? Control what you do, who you see or talk to, or where you go? Make all the decisions. Act like the abuse is no big deal, is your fault, or even denying doing it. Threaten to commit suicide. Threaten to kill you. trying to isolate you from your family or friends. Damage property when angry, e.g. thrown objects, punched walls, kicked doors, etc. Pushed, slapped, bitten, kicked, or choked you. Abandoned you in a dangerous or unfamiliar place. Scared you by driving recklessly. Forced you to leave your home. Prevented you from calling police or seeking medical attention. Views women as objects and believes in rigid gender roles. Accuses you of cheating or is often jealous of your outside relationships. So that's all 15 of them. And all 15 of them are met by Bella and Edward. So yeah.
They'll die in a couple of years and then everyone will forget about them.
They're not real.
Exactly.
They're not real, so how can they die in a couple of years? Like, the series is...
thinking about them, they're dead.
The series is over.
Our thoughts about them keep them alive. Because they're fictional characters. If you don't think about fictional characters, they cease to exist.
Which is the beauty about Twilight, is that it can die!
Or you can just like, kill Stephanie Meyer and burn every copy of her books.
I would not want to endure the wrath of rabid fangirls. Thank you.
I give a fuck. I'll gladly
claw your eyes out with their teeth first.
I will dance around a burning pile of Twilight books. I don't even care.
And I will film your horrible, horrible death.
I kind of want to have a Twilight book burning party now.
Yeah, not even a book burning party, just like a campfire. You know, it's like, instead of using twigs, you're just throwing copies of Twilight.
Oh, it's getting low. We need some more embers.
It's like, all right, so what do you want? Breaking Dawn? New Moon? What are you looking for?
Are you looking for a specific chapter here? What?
It's like, give me chapter 7 of New Moon. There we go. Oh, that burned up nice. But like, you try to like roast marshmallows or hot dogs over it or something, they just turn really emo and like whenever the moonlight hits them, they sparkle.
They grow hair that'll like flop in front of their on top of the marshmallow eyes.
They get abs. It's like you get a specifically werewolf chapter and they just grow abs.
They try and fight back. It's like, what the fuck? Just get in my mouth.
They don't even try to fight back. They just grow abs and try to have sex with your children. Because
oh my God.
That's what the werewolf does.
It sounds horrifying. Just try and imagine that scenario. Family around a campfire. Roasting marshmallows. And then that happens.
And then the marshmallow just like grows abs, jumps on things like, hey baby, how you doing? It's like, I'm 7.
I'm older than everyone.
And I'm only a few months old. I haven't been around that long, babe.
Yeah. Oh, marshmallow. It's like, hey, we good.
Technically, you're the elder.
Oh, God.
Oh, your father. Oh, my God. No. Stop it. No.
That series really needs to die. Like, I want it. That series needs to be, like, needs to be personified as a person. That person needs to be beaten to death with a copy of their own book. I want to beat a Twihard to death with a copy of Twilight. Like the hardcover.
I know just who to pick.
Yes. Next time I'm in London, we'll go kill this person.
They're not in London.
Where are they then? Tell me.
They're where you are.
Bring Twilight next time you come here.
No, I'm not going to buy that shit. You kidding me?
I didn't say buy it, I said bring it.
This person will have a copy of it in their parents. It's their own copy.
It'll probably be enshrined on their dining room table.
I believe it's in a box set, so you can use the whole series.
Oh, goody. Okay, they're sculling very nicely. So yeah, that does it for news.
Great, you ended it on Twilight, really?
I ended it on someone burning Twilight.
Actually, we ended it on
beating a Twihard to death.
With Twilight.
So that's a high note.
I'm still not satisfied, though. It's a high note, but it still involves Twilight. Let's talk about something for the next like few minutes. Like, I don't know, Legend of Zelda or something.
I don't want to end a show with Zelda.
Skyrim. It can't be Twilight in any way.
Jim Carrey's going to be in Kick-Ass 2.
Nice!
Yeah, he's going to be playing the Colonel. This has just been confirmed by Mark Millar.
See, that's what you end something like this on. You ended on something awesome.
Yeah, so in a string of tweets, Jeff Wadlow, the director of Kick-Ass 2, balls to the wall. No, I will not stop calling it that because fuck you, it's a terrible name. 6 days till we start shooting, and we officially have our colonel. It's like, alrighty effing then. At Chloe, and then he puts a bunch of people, and then Christopher Mintz Plus will be playing the motherfucker. Says, who we got? Then Mark Millar tweets, clue, he lives with 200 raccoons and parrots, owns the mask of Loki, and named by Spielberg as a genius. So yeah.
How is that a hint? That's a dead giveaway.
Because some people are idiots. Like, I didn't expect you... Like,
one actor has...
I didn't expect you to know who Jim Carrey was.
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, who hasn't seen that?
My favorite Jim Carrey movie, though, still has to be Me, Myself, and Irene.
when he has a split personality. That's a good one.
Of the two Jim Carrey movies I own, actually, I think I have three. I think I have one on VHS, but that's one of them.
Yeah, so... Then how's that for a high note?
I like that high note, and I'm very excited for that movie now. I want it to come out right now.
I just really hope at some point they actually do drop the balls to the wall subtitle. It's a fucking stupid fucking subtitle.
Yeah, they should really get rid of that.
Yeah, and
just
like
tweet at them a bunch.
Yeah, and like the comic book isn't called Balls to the Wall; it's just called Kick-Ass 2.
Okay, guys, anybody listening to this podcast, we'd tweet at Mark Millar. Can he change this?
I don't know. I think... What is he doing in this movie anyway? Like, let me actually look this up.
Who do we have to tweet at to change this? Because I have a perfect hashtag to it for it.
Maybe Jeff Wadlow?
Okay, so tweet at Jeff Wadlow. Please drop the subtitle. Hashtag balls off the wall.
Or drop the balls.
Oh, that's a good one too.
But yeah, I have no idea what Mark Millar is actually going to be doing on this movie. If he's just like, Kick-Ass was created by, or if it's actually like, he's actually like executive producing or something. Yeah, so anyway, tweet at anybody involved in the movie and get them to drop the balls to the wall, because it's so stupid.
So yeah, I think drop the balls will have to be the hashtag.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Casey, that's going to do it for this week, I guess.
I'm sorry for the sound.
So, as always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at Deathstore Prods. I'm at Denman on Twitter, Prods. And we have at... You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/DeathstoreProds. And we're on iTunes. Please subscribe to us. Leave us reviews. Let us know what you want to see more of, less of, etc. So, this Wednesday, we're going to be having the Comic Book Podcast. This Friday, we're going to be having the Movies Podcast, as well as the first film, as well as our first commentary for Dark Horse Month. The schedule is currently up on DeathstoreProds.com. We're going to be watching Mystery Men.
Hell yes.
And be sure to join us back here on games.com/chat next week, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern, for another episode of the DeathstoreProds.com Anything Cast Live. But until then, until all that time, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bovion.
And I'm Ninja Kitty.
See you guys next time.